The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, the leaders' debate of the general election, the first one of two, took place last night with all 10 party leaders taking part. That made it the largest party leader debate in the history of Irish television. Now, joining me to talk about what they thought of it, Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor at the Irish Independent, and Jennifer Bray, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Good morning and welcome. We'll go to the headlines first of all. Jennifer, any winners clearly in the 10-sided debate?
To be honest, not really. I think that in a debate as big as this, where you have 10 party leaders, there's always going to be some element of chaos. Realistically, I think each of the party leaders can find something to bring back to their supporters to kind of boast about or wave around and say, you know, I got to say this or I put this party message across. But by and large, because there were so many people, it's often very hard to see a thought and be fully thought through, I suppose. And I think something stood out to me. Realistically, Simon Harris, Micheál Martin and Mary Lou MacDonald, I think, dominated the debate, which isn't surprising, given, you know, they're the three parties ahead in the polls. I think it was harder for the smaller parties to get a look in. And realistically, the only way often that they could get a look in is if they interrupted. I mean, for example, Padraig Tobin, the leader of Aondhu, I think he'd probably be very happy with the amount of airtime that he got, considering kind of where his party is at in the polling, because he kind of consistently interjected. I think each of them can be happy enough. There were no catastrophic moments. There were no major gaffes.
I think that Padraig Tobin, watching him last night, he was kind of chippy and cheerful in spite of, you know, saying some telling political things. He always looked up for it in a way that others did not.
Yeah, and you know what's really interesting about Padraig Tobin and his contribution to the debate? The debate started off by asking each of the party leaders who they would do business with after the election. And unfortunately, most of them didn't give straight answers and all of them were trying to offer some kind of caveat in one way or the other. Whereas Padraig Tobin kind of said straight out, oh, we wouldn't talk to Fine Gael and we wouldn't talk to the Green Party because of the damage they've done, these are his words. But we would talk to Fianna Fáil because they are an ideological husk who would be easier to direct. Now, people will have seen the debate last night if they made it through to the very end, fair play. But afterwards, Micheál Martin spoke to journalists outside RTE and he was quite annoyed about these comments from Padraig Tobin. He was saying that there was an arrogance there. And I asked him, you know, what about this claim that Padraig Tobin makes that Fianna Fáil is easier to direct? What do you think about that? And he said, well, we won't be directed by him. In any event, he won't be directing anybody. Yeah. So he seems to have got under Micheál's skin.
No, it's interesting. It's kind of the Trump taking over the Republican Party idea there. Fionnán, your perception of any winners at all, any downright losers?
Oh, a disastrous night for the soft left. I thought if somebody was making a pitch last night to be relevant to this general election, as in somebody who could actually go into government and implement policies, you wouldn't come away thinking, I'll vote for the Green Party, the Labour Party or the Social Democrats last night. Peripheral, anonymous, irrelevant are the phrases that come to mind. Independents, you know, they seem to be kind of stranded down the end as well. At one point, you were looking at Micheál Martin and he was looking to his left or to his right, and there was Michael Collins, Cian O'Callaghan, and Joan Collins there, and he was almost had a look of sympathy on him, like he was a school teacher, you know, hoping that a pupil would manage to answer a question right. I thought, in terms of people who got actually stuck in and just elbowed their way into the debate, Padraig Tobin and Richard Boyd Barrett did that very well. It was difficult for them. The three big party leaders or medium-sized party leaders were going to get the most, I suppose, flak directed at them and were going to get the most time to respond. So the two of them did fairly well, and yet at the same time you're looking at Padraig ruled out going in with Fine Gael. He said he didn't know what Sinn Féin stood for, and he had some reservations about Fianna Fáil as well, so I'm not entirely clear that he has actually ruled himself into coalition as a result of that, and Richard Boyd Barrett was expressing views that would obviously be at odds with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and not quite either backing Mary Lou MacDonald for Taoiseach. He seemed to be closest to her. Yeah. In terms of the optics, you looked at it and thought every time the camera went to to Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, they were standing together, nodding or looking annoyed or whatever. So they were a unit. And you would look at that and go, well, is there any difference between the two of them, where Mary Lou McDonald stood alone? However, this is the problem. Mary Lou McDonald stands alone. Her ability to put a government together is still no clearer after last night's debate, where you're looking at the other two and saying, well, look, the two of them are quite happy to go in together, whatever way the numbers fall.
Now, one of the issues, I suppose, was the timing of the debate. It coincided with the second night of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which meant I'm sure some of the audience were more tempted by the jungle than by the political jungle they witnessed on RT1 in that debate. But we wanted, for people who didn't watch, we want to hear some of the exchanges. And first of all, Mary Lou McDonald brought up the plight of children waiting on things like scoliosis surgery, and she had this to say to Simon Harris on that topic.
I think this faux concern for the future of children needs to be called
out. Okay, let Simon Harris respond to that.
Wow. I mean, how dare you? How dare you accuse anyone of faux concern for children? I mean, who do you think you are that you have some sort of monopoly on compassion? There's no faux concern. I don't know any member of Dáil Éireann in any political party or any candidate running for Dáil Éireann who has faux concern for children. So perhaps we could have a respectful... No, excuse me, please. Perhaps we could have a respectful debate about the issues.
So I'll debate... So respectfully I'll debate, say this to I would you, like Simon, to, well, for clarity. Say, and in
you're,
fairness
you're
to...
You're shouting me down
no,
again.
No, in fairness
you're
to you and for
down.
Clarity.
You're shouting me
nobody
down.
Has a monopoly on compassion. I agree with you. But here's
well, then,
the thing. You and Micheál Martin have had a monopoly on power for a very long time. And yet, here we are as we debate.
So there we are. Jennifer, that particular exchange, and there was a kind of a theme running through from the left, which is 100 years of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And we'll come to another exchange in a moment on that. And, that was the left's argument. It's our turn.
Yeah, exactly. And I think just before Mary Lou McDonald made that comment about full concern for the future of children, I think what she had been indirectly referring to was this Fine Gael plan that they outlined in their manifesto for this kind of SSIA style savings scheme, basically where, you know, parents would put money into a fund which would accumulate throughout the life of the child. And obviously there's been criticism of that because, you know, it's only really better off parents who could afford to kind of put that kind of money aside every year. And I think she was kind of talking about that sort of Fine Gael focus on children. And she did mention homelessness, the number of homeless children and the scoliosis waiting list. And I think if we're going to be real, you know, the outgoing government, their most abject failure by any yardstick will be the homelessness crisis and the housing crisis, particularly homelessness and children. So I think she knew that she was hitting particularly Simon Harris at his rawest nerve. And she went there. And I think when it comes to that, Harris has been trying to, I suppose, hit back as hard as he can. And for me, this was the kind of sparkiest moment in the debate, that kind of head to head between the two of them. And then, you know, this idea of 100 years of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, this is kind of replicated, mentioned by, like, you know, Fanon said that the parties of the left, you know, that they didn't have a great debate, but they tried to use this, all of them. And I think Micheál Martin seems to take great offence to it as well. You know, he was... Yeah,
we have that
arrogant
exchange. This is the question of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael being in power for 100 years as addressed by Micheál Martin in reply to Mary Lou McDonald.
Sorry, the 100 years narrative that Mary Lou and Sinn Féin are proposing takes some nerve, because someone needs to ask the searching question. Where was Sinn Féin movement for the last 100 years? They opposed every single thing that built this country. They opposed membership of the European Union, which was transformative. They opposed every trade deal, which created hundreds of thousands of jobs. They opposed industrial strategy, which led to the multinationals coming here, and low corporation taxes. You opposed our constitution for the vast majority of that 100 years. And you murdered Gardaí and soldiers as well for the most part of that 100 years. You opposed the state.
Allow Mary Lou McDonald to respond.
And demand to be in power because of what
the world
of the country...
Allow Mary Lou McDonald.
Sorry, I think you can hear, just by the tone of those remarks from both Simon Harris and Micheál Martin, the politics of entitlement writ large.
No,
when we say that there has been a century of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in government, not alone monopolising government, but for most of that century, monopolising the opposition benches as well. That is a statement of historical fact.
But for 70 years, you didn't take
Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, All of that has now changed. So you don't get it all your own way. And in this election, the people, when they go out to vote, will have a clear-cut choice.
That idea dominated for 100 years by the two parties and the reply shows that Micheál Martin can get down and dirty when required. But also, it is about choice. It's who the people actually voted for over the last 100 years. And now maybe they do have a wider choice than they once had.
Yeah, I mean, he's pointing to democracy, really, and giving a lesson there. I mean, we have seen in this campaign how Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are kind of ready more for Sinn Féin this time than they were in the last election. We've also kind of seen a shift in narrative from Sinn Féin, Mary Lou McDonald now saying that she doesn't think she should have to answer for the actions of the provisional IRA. And that's what Micheál Martin was alluding back to, really, saying, well, what were you lot up to during this period? We've seen spiky exchanges as well, where Simon Harris and Micheál Martin are taking up Mary Lou McDonald on recognition of the institutions of the state, engagement with the EU, their international stances on engagement with the United States, and really they're quite happy in this election to point to that yes, Mary Lou McDonald will bring up issues in relation to EU directives and so on, but Simon Harris will turn around and say, okay, but when you want to go to the EU table, how are you going to influence anything there? The same goes with international affairs, that very critical of the war in Gaza and the role of the United States, but the answer back is, but yet you'll travel to Washington, you'll go to the White House, and you won't boycott or abstain or forcibly raise issues there. So it probably is just a sign of it's 5 years on and they know where the attacks are coming from at this stage. Ultimately, though, she does have that changed narrative and she's trying to strike that up. If you were coming away from last night's debate where every other party on the left was basically saying, well, we're not going to in any way engage with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, we're going to back Sinn Féin and vote for Mary Lou McDonald for Taoiseach, that would be very different. But ultimately, she's still stuck in that position where it's unclear where she's making up the coalition numbers.
Now, Roderick O'Gorman, he was very energetic with me on this programme yesterday, and maybe he was a bit tired last night. He didn't get much of a look in. Anyway, some of the pointed attacks focusing on the Green Party. This is Micheál Martin and Padraig Tobin.
But I think we have to bring people with us. That's the key point. And I think part of the issue, I think, that the Green Party is the attitude you took, if you don't mind me saying so, that it's your way or no other way.
No, but that's a sense out there. I disagree, Micheál.
People feel that they were being hectored to.
I believe that the Green Party have made this a divisive issue. And the reason being is because they've used a stick and they haven't used a carrot.
OK, Jennifer, the performance of Roderick O'Gorman, after all, he is an outgoing leader in this current coalition.
Yeah, after the debate, Roderick O'Gorman also spoke to the media and it was put to him that, you know, the question was asked to him, were you too polite during this debate? You know, you didn't kind of elbow your way in the way others did. And he said he was happy enough that he had got home all of the key points that the Green Party are trying to raise in this election debate. But it did strike me that he wasn't entirely combative, I wouldn't say. And I think there was a lot of finger wagging there from the other two parties, you know, this idea of saying it's your way or no way. You didn't bring people with you. But then on the other hand, you have Micheál Martin saying that history will judge this outgoing government as the one which, and I quote, turned the dial on climate change, which is interesting because it wasn't that long ago that we saw Leo Varadkar out saying that actually the Green Party brought those two parties kind of kicking and screaming, and that if it wasn't for them, they wouldn't have done many of the climate measures that they brought into place.
Now, one of the things that the Green Party will lay claim to is, and again, Roderick O'Gorman on this programme was talking about the number of local link services that had been set up during the term of the government and how many passengers there have been on local link compared to 5 years ago. But then there was a bit of a spat about who was responsible for the local link services, which the Green Party claim, whether it was Roderick O'Gorman or Independent Ireland leader Michael Collins. Have a listen.
the transport service here, you're saying, yes, you're delivering. You're not delivering. When people have to travel 2 hours to get a train, that's not delivering.
Michael, you
when
were people, celebrating, no, sorry, I you still, were celebrating I did not the interrupt service you. Between Baltimore and Mission Head in your local paper
I did
only
not
a few weeks
you.
Ago, with respect.
I did not interrupt
with
you
respect.
While you're speaking. I am at my best to make sure that we can deliver with local link, and I work there on a voluntary oh, capacity with
that was courtesy of Eamon Ryan's funding.
But the bottom line is...
Would you accept that, Michael Collins, that it was a Green Party initiative that put those local link buses in,
oh,
that you've been...
No. The local link has there well before the Green Party ever went into government, so we have to be
there. Funding
but
to
we have to understand,
by five
in relation...
It actually highlights the question of whether or not some of these political leaders should have been in this debate at all to try and make sense of the debate. Fionnán?
Yeah, I mean, Roderick O'Gorman will be walking around naked soon because the other parties are stealing his clothes so much at this stage. And you're seeing it again last night that the big parties are quite happy to say, oh, I'm all in favour of climate change. But just of climate change action, but I'm just not in favour of the Green Party, so I'm just going to steal their policies and move on. It's not necessarily a bad thing for Roderick O'Gorman to be going out looking for votes if he has the two main parties saying, you were difficult to deal with in government. He can pitch that in another direction and say, well, it shows we're no rollovers, where we actually fight for our policies. And if that upsets our coalition partners, so be it. And then you point to the achievements. But as you say, he doesn't really look like a guy who's kind of cut out for the cut and thrust of a robust debate like this. So he wasn't forcibly enough coming back with points.
Jennifer?
Yeah, I agree on that. I think it's interesting. I agree with Fionnán that actually it's a good place for him to be in to say, you know, we actually were difficult. But the other interesting thing on the flip side of that is, so who are Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil eyeing up? It's definitely the Labour Party. And after the debate again, Simon Harris came out of RTE and he was talking about how he thought the debate went. And he mentioned in there, and you know, it's great to have this debate because we can hear the policies of other parties, such as the Labour Party. And he went on to compliment their housing policy. They're definitely making love eyes at
okay,
the Labour Party.
Tell me this. We saw how Simon Harris and Micheál Martin and Mary Lou McDonald performed because they got a good look in. What about the others? I mean, how would you rate Ivana Bacsik's presence at that debate last night?
See, the thing is, Ivana Bacsik is trying to sell this message of constructive change. And I think actually a lot of people do like the message of constructive change. The thing is, in a debate like this, it kind of gets you nowhere. Like you have to elbow your way in. You have to kind of be part of those spikier things. So I think for her, she's probably happy enough with it. But I don't think that it will have moved the dial in any way for voters in terms of the Labour Party. And perhaps that's a victory of itself for them, you know.
Yeah,
she did have an overly nuanced point that she was trying to make, where she basically said that after an election she'll talk to other centre left parties. So she seemed to be, although she didn't specify, trying to create a block of Labour, Social Democrat, and Green Party TDs that they would in some way come together and enter into coalition talks, but that wasn't quite clear.
Actually sounding like the Social Democrat and Labour Party, SDLP.
Yeah, and with Greens attached. So if you look at all three parties, you can say there is a lot that draws them together. It's just what they specifically emphasise is the difference between them, broadly speaking. So is she trying to bring the three of them together after the election, or was she trying to make a pitch to their voters to transfer between them? You just weren't abundantly clear. She needed to come out and make a bit of a better, bolder and more clear statement, like vote left, stay left. If you vote for a party, stick with another party of similar cause. I'm looking for Labour or Sock Dem transfers. Whatever her message was, it wasn't quite coming across.
So it could be SDLG rather than SDL. P.
There you go. Yeah.
There we go. The new party, the new agglomeration that might arrive after the next election. Finally, the whole format of the thing. I mean, Katie Hannon had her work cut out trying to marshal 10 people, giving them all some sort of a look in. I'm just wondering, is that format, are you better off looking at the three people who might theoretically be Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, Simon Harris and Mary Lou McDonald, who have a some sort of a chance of being there, and then have a Tánaiste's debate between Ivana Bacsik and Roderick O'Gorman and maybe nobody else.
Yeah, that's definitely a good idea. I think as well, you know, Katie Hannan, to her credit, you know, she had a housing debate previously. So the way it was structured was that at the start of the show, you had all these parties talking kind of theoretically about who they may or may not go in with. And I think a lot of that went over people's heads, whereas you had kind of the weightier topics like housing and immigration. It's extreme. If you would have said to me this summer, at this summer's local and European elections, that in the first big debate of the campaign, immigration wouldn't get a look in until around 110 minutes, I wouldn't have believed you. Yeah. And I think it just goes to show you that the issue has somewhat slipped down the top of the agenda. So I think kind of it was interesting that those topics were at the back of the debate. And I do wonder, had people tuned out by then?
All right. Thank you both. Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor of the Irish Independent, and Jennifer Bray, political correspondent of the Irish Times. Thank you both very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.